National Sorry Day is an event that has been held on the 26th of May since 1998 to remember the mistreatment of our people. During the 20th century, Australian government policies resulted in the stolen generation. Aboriginal children forcibly removed from their families in the interest of turning them into white Australians. On the 26th of May 1997, the Bringing Them Home report was tabled in Parliament. That date, the 26th of May, carries significance for the stolen generation, as well for the family members of those people. The forced removal of our children still continues today. In 2017, the approximate numbers were 17,000 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children in out-of-home care. That means not with their parents, other family members, or community. We know without a major change, that number will triple by 2035. In the 1997 Bringing Them Home report, there are 54 recommendations that were made to keep our kids in our communities. Today, we have 17,000 kids in out-of-home care. Are these recommendations being met?
Welcome to the annual Sorry Day event here at Orley Park with 98.9 FM.
Today we honour the Indigenous peoples of this land, the oldest continuing cultures in human history.
98.9 FM remembers the stolen generation and joins together for a time of reconnection, reflection and the renewal of the country's commitments of reconciliation. This is Let's Talk with your host, Carver Watson, Karen Durante and Beau Spearham.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before we start, we acknowledge the original people of the land right across the country, particularly the local traditional owners of our broadcast area and all the traditional owner groups throughout southeast Queensland. I'm joined this morning by Karen Durante and Beau Spearham. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Carver. But before we start, we'll start with an acknowledgement. We're here today to acknowledge Sorry Day, which is a day of sorry business, a day in which we reflect and we remember. And we'd like to commence with a minute's silence to remember not only all of our old people who were taken from their families, but those families who never reconnected with their children, their loved ones, and also those ones who today who are still with us and have never reconnected with their family. We remember all of them throughout our time. And to acknowledge this silence, we'll be listening to the following track.
To the National Sorry Day event with 98.9. This is Let's Talk with your host, Carver Watson, Karen Durante and Beau Spearham.
Welcome back. During that minute of silence, KD, you know, when you think about Sorry Day and you think about our stolen generations, you know, what sort of memories and feelings do you reflect on?
Well, I think about the first National Sorry Day. I remember, the event that happened here in Brisbane where, and not only just in Brisbane, but everywhere across the country, thousands marched on bridges and you could see the words, you know, sorry being painted in the sky and stuff like that. But, you know, here is again, you know, something that's important to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but also to the rest of Australians as well, about this part of our history that we all need to embrace. And it's fantastic to see, sort of like looking at the crowd before us today at the Link Up Sorry Day event, is that it's a mixture of Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander and non-Indigenous Australians, and new arrivals too, you know, more recent Australians who have come along here to remember. I wish there was more. And I just wonder, you know, it makes me wonder whether people are actually thinking about January 26th, May 26th, and what that actually means. And, I mean, it's rooted in, you know, the Black Deaths in Custody report, isn't it?
Bringing them home report.
I mean, that's when they first identified that why a lot of our mob were being incarcerated, because they were experiencing all this trauma as a result of these removal policies.
Well, what's your thoughts and reflection, you know, when we come to this, and particularly when we acknowledge that silence and even the stories we hear today, what's your reflections and, your feelings?
Yeah, I think, you know, you don't really understand, you know, you don't really understand the magnitude of how massive this was, and, you know, like how many Aboriginal people are actually affected, you know, by this, you know, how many families have that one family member that didn't come home, or that the family members that came home, you know, like how massive it was, you know, when we're talking about, you know, the amount of children, thousands upon thousands of children, you know, were taken and to places just like where we are at Cranbrook Place here today, you know, all over the country, you know, and the amount of distance in between, you know, from where they were originally from to where they, you know, ended up. You know, sadly, you know, these mob didn't make it home. You know, and like Katie said, you know, like this isn't, you know, just Aboriginal history. You know, this is the history of this country. You know, every single person, whether that, you know, they got here in 1788 or they, you know, came here last week, you know, like this is a history that sort of, you know, needs to be known more. And the fact that, yeah, you know, like, it's, you know, always a small, you know, it's always a good crowd here down at Cranbrook Park. But, you know, like these discussions, you know, need to be had more. You know, like, we all have family members, you know, on my dad's side, we tracked back three of my great-great-grannies, you know, that was taken in Cherbourg. You know, they were married into the Chambers and into the to the Hopkins, and, you know, like, and it's funny, like, we grew up, you know, going to Murray School to all these fellas, and then, you know, halfway, you know, through our lives, we find out we're related to these fellas, you know, because of this history.
And that thing, you know, it is part of this history, and you think about, you know, for so many people out there who deny that these things occurred, I mean, it's in the very places that so many of our mob grew up, the missions and reserves all throughout this country, you know, all had a role and had a place in this system of assimilation, you know, and whether or not they were removing children, it was families sent there and their livelihoods were regimented on these missions and reserves, you know, and if they were so choose, children would not grow up with their parents, you know, they'd be sent to the dormitory while the parents would work elsewhere. And so it's that history that is our actual lives, you know, and for a lot of people out there who don't know that, it's always been an everyday thing for so many of our families.
Well, I mean, just looking back at the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity report that was done by Ronald Wilson and the co-authors, Patrick Dodson, and so, they were talking about 1 in 10 Aboriginal families were affected by these removal policies. 1 in 10. So you look at this group that's out here, so there's, you know, obviously 20 people in front of us, two of them would have been affected.
There's not 20 people here. Your mob's saying there's not many people here. I reckon there's a decent turnout.
I'm just saying, as an example.
it's deadly to see so many people turn up. But next week also marks the start of Reconciliation Week, which is, you know, similar to the topic that you raised there, Bo. The theme is don't keep history a mystery. There is still a lack of awareness about the history in this country. And I think there's still an active, resistance to not wanting to know the history of this country or this side of history from various, you know, segments of the community. How important is it that we continue to tell these stories and acknowledge these events?
It's really, really, important, because it shapes, I guess, the direction that this country could, possibly go towards. And that means, a much better future for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and our young kids. And that denial of that, results at the moment in 17,000 young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander kids that are not in, that number is higher than any other number as well of, Aboriginal children that have ever been stolen, from their families and from their communities. That's sort of the history. That's the result of that denial of history.
And denying that history is denying essentially who we are.
Yeah.
And also, what we know to be true.
And it also plays into sort of, the consciousness that they have and sort of, I guess, the history and the treatment that they had, the white fellows that came here, they did come here in chains and, at the bottom of the boats, some of them, most of them were at the top end of the boat. And, it speaks of that history and the relationship they have with they had with each other. The way that they treat us now.
Now, we've got a few guests lined up. We're going to be talking to some people that are down here today. So stay tuned. We want to talk to some of the speakers who spoke during this morning's proceedings. Do we actually just want to talk about the proceedings? So today was put on by Link Up.
Yep.
It was put up by Link Up Queensland. They've been around since 1984, and they started around the same time as the New South Wales Link Up, and basically it's a reunification service, also a family history tracing service. So we've got a researcher and one of the caseworkers who's going to join us to have a little bit of a chat about the work that they did. So we've had some dignitaries here. Uncle Sam Watson, of course, is the chairperson of Link Up Queensland. So he's been emceeing the event. It's still going on. I don't know if people can hear it in the background, but we've had Ben Mitchell, who's co-chair of NAIDOC committee. He is here, so we might try and get a hold of him. Terry Butler, the member for Griffith. Pat Conlon, who's also the CEO of Link Up Queensland. And just a moment ago, we had Dr. Roz Kidd, of course, who has written those books, Black Lives, Government Lies, and the Way We're Civilized, and heavily involved in the stolen wages case as well.
Just from our part, on behalf of Beamer 98.9, we acknowledge the tremendous work that Link Up does in serving our mob who have been disconnected with their families, in reuniting those our mob with their families and their communities. We're going to take a break for a song. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back soon.
Why my people more?
Welcome back to the National Sorry Day event with 98.9. This is Let's Talk with your host, Carver Watson, Karen Durante, and Bo Spearham.
Welcome back to our coverage of the Sorry Day ceremony here down in Orley Park in West End. We're joined by our guest who is a co-chair of the National NAIDOC Committee, Benjamin Mitchell. Well, if we could just start your mob and your country and where you're from.
Yeah, thanks for that, Kawa. My name is Ben Mitchell. I'm Miriam Mualgal from the Torres Straits, Eastern Language Group and Western Language Groups of the Torres Straits. All the Wares and Nui families up there in Doolas. But born on Gimui Dinji country in Cairns, North Queensland. Most of my upbringing there. But recently relocated down to Canberra, Ngunnawal country. So, it's a bit of a journey. So it's great to be up here for the... This Sorry Day event, and grateful to be invited.
A lot cooler down there too.
Yeah, just kicked in about a couple of weeks ago. The temperature dropped and Murray was freezing. It was pretty crazy, but that's all good.
There's a lot of Murray expats down that way, eh? A good contingent of Queensland mob?
Actually, there is. They call them, they call themselves the blow-ins. but there's a big contingency. I think back in the Atsic days, when there was a big mob that moved down. But there's a good contingency of Queensland, especially gearing into Origin Series.
Oh, deadly. Now, brother, NAIDOC week every week is such an important event for our mob. As is these events, these dates in our calendars that we as a community and as a people remember, our history and where we are from. To just speak on Sorry Day and what we reflect on, what is the significance and importance from your perspective of us remembering that history?
Well, we heard today from a wonderful ceremony just the fact that we're here. We if we want to go forward, you've got to know where we come from before we know where we're going to go. And I think it's important, especially to hear and preserve the stories of our elders and the research they've been doing in this space, especially with Link Up, to allow not only that healing and that journey for our families, but also our young people. I'm always concerned about our young children understanding and knowing real history, the real story of what it was like during that period. So events like this really brings us together, brings community together, that respect and understanding, but allows us to still put on the table the real issues. And it was some really good speeches today acknowledging that what Sorry Day is all about, and we need, lest we forget, how are we supposed to move forward.
Definitely. And also, I guess, on that theme, you said how important it is for our younger generation to sort of understand, the history of our people, and also, this date in particular. But also, at this current time as well, there is lots of one of the highest numbers of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children in out-of-home care. It's sort of, history repeating itself again, like we're coming down this track. How important is it to sort of remember that, but then also keep that honest discussion as well about, this still continues?
Yeah, I've got a couple of views on that. Really good question. To keep it central, I think we also need to acknowledge the successes and the achievements that have happened. And I think we build a reconciliation bridge built on what has worked and how do we get that healing together to move forward. And I think as that out-of-home care statistic is alarming. So it's really about how do we then promote, the positives of what we need to do as a community and as a nation to be able to ensure that if those things are in place and those statistics are that high, what those discussions need to happen with regards to our young people, with decision makers that and influence those decision makers that can make a difference. So I really think it's about we empowering ourselves as Indigenous people and our youth to be able to be in those decision-making bodies, in government, in parliament, so those honest discussions actually had in the flesh, as opposed to, we're trying to lobby up to those decision-makers who aren't sitting at the table, that don't really understand our journey. So I think it's important for us to be on those decision-making tables. I think that's the start where we can encourage our young people, especially to get on those, in that space is one area to look at.
That's that old saying, keep them honest.
Yeah, that's correct. You gotta, absolutely.
Well, NAIDOC Week, this year's theme, Because of Her We Can. Can you talk about, you know, how that theme, you know, and for all the mob out there, how that theme was come up with and the significance of that theme? I know, you know, all of our families and communities have those women in our family that we acknowledge and remember and respect for the pillars of strength that they are. But, you know, as a committee, how was that formulated and the significance of this theme?
You know, I have to be honest, the NAIDOC, being on the NAIDOC committee, first of all, it's not a paid gig. You're there because, you know, you're chosen because you're selected to be a part of that history of from 19 in the 20s and 30s, Uncle William Cooper. And you carry a special spirit with you when you're on that national committee. And I can tell you how it happens. It happens with the assistance of our ancestors. There's no way about it. There's no, these themes come up with, generated in the minds of our committee members, and we sit and about when we have robust discussion in these things, when we try to come up with a theme, is the feeling that you get in the room and that spirit of NAIDOC, and you literally feel the presence of our mothers. And on this occasion, we felt the spirit of our mothers, our grandmothers, our ancestors, and they were in the room. I can't deny that. We felt it. So it was very appropriate to be able to look at a theme that the wording was correct. And because of her, we can really acknowledge and resonate it, the spirit that was in that meeting. And it's probably one of the most moving meetings I've been in 13 years on the committee with that theme. And I definitely can hold true to that statement.
Daddy brother. Well, thank you for joining us today, and we appreciate your time this morning. And yeah, hopefully next time you're in town, don't be a stranger. Come down. We'll be sure to get you on the airwaves and make sure all our mob here is up to date and knows, you know, what's going on with our NAIDOC activities moving forward.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and yeah, thank you for your listeners.
No worries. We're actually joined now by Terry Butler. We're just getting a microphone over here.
Thanks.
Good morning, Terry. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for being here at this event here this morning.
Ah, thanks for having me on, and I'm sorry about my voice. I sound a bit husky. I've been yelling at the Liberals in Parliament all week.
Somebody can do it.
I was going to say, have you been at karaoke or something somewhere?
Oh, mate, I'm no good at that. It's best if I don't sing.
Yeah. So we're here today to acknowledge Sorry Day, and as we have heard through the stories and the speeches this morning, it's an important process, you know, that we stop to reflect on, you know, what people we acknowledge as sorry business in our community, but has been referred to as a dark chapter in the history of Australia.
Yes.
From your perspective, you know, why is it important that you as a Member of Parliament are here today and to take part in this process?
Well, I mean, it's, excuse me, being here on Jagera land at this particular site where Cranbrook House was is incredibly moving and sad, because you do think of the terrible desolation and distress caused by the separation of children from their families, and also what happened here, where young girls and young women were treated terribly, having already been removed from their families. It's incredibly important to stop and acknowledge that pain and that distress. Any federal member should be doing this. I particularly want to do it because I took over from Kevin Rudd, as you know, who is the Prime Minister who made the apology to the Stolen Generations, an apology that was very, very long overdue. And I know that it meant a lot to Kevin to be able to give that apology, and I know that it was important for healing, but we just can't stop there as federal parliamentarians. And one of the things I want to continue to do is acknowledge, firstly, the Stolen Generation, secondly, the work that Link Up does, particularly as an organisation based in my electorate, the work that Auntie Pat, Auntie Beverly, the staff, Uncle Sam, all of the people who've worked at Link Up over the years, the work that they do, it's hard work, it's emotional work, and it's absolutely crucial work, because we can't heal without reconciliation of families, even when that reunification, that reconciliation happens after people have passed. It's it's so important. So I, the second reason I come is to express my gratitude and thankfulness to Link Up for the work that they do. And the third reason I come is because I think we need to be talking now about what's happening now. Mm. As I said when I spoke, we need to actually honour the Uluru Statement from the Heart. We need a voice to Parliament. And most importantly, we need a Makarrata Truth-Telling Commission, because there's people being taken from their families right now. And that, that we need to do more to talk about these things, or else if you don't actually give voice to them, if you don't bring them to the surface of the conversation that we have as a nation, mm-hmm. Then things don't change.
I guess just on what you were just saying as well, you know, like you acknowledge that, you know, the stuff still continues today. You know, like at this current time, there's, you know, more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children that are in out of home care as well. Then, you know, I guess at the height of the Stolen Generation, if you could say that, you know, and I guess, you know, like, it's sort of, you know, like a history repeats itself, and this continuation of this as well happening. How do you sort of, you know, how do these, you know, things sort of, you know, become unchecked or still continue?
Yeah, it's, I mean, obviously it's now been 20 years since the Bringing Them Home report was presented to the Parliament in 1997, and we have very strong advocacy from Aboriginal communities, from Islander communities, to say that we need to act to stop the removal of children from their homes. And I have to say, organisations like SNAKE, like the Family Violence Prevention Legal Services, come to the Parliament to raise and advocate in respect of these issues. What needs to happen, though, is we need more action to be taken from the Commonwealth. Now, obviously, I don't want to be too critical of the government. It's not the day for that. But one frustration that I have is that they're not even willing to listen, to refuse to even consider the voice to Parliament, to refuse to consider the Makarrata Commission. I think is really regrettable, because if you don't shine light on what's happening, then things just won't change, as you say.
There is a lot of speculation about a looming election. You know, you've spoken about the need for that Makarrata and Truth-Telling Commission. Are these going to be, you know, feature in policy positions, you know, moving forward for the Labor government?
Yes. Bill Shorten is also the Shadow Minister in respect of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and he is supported as the Shadow Assistant Minister by Senator Pat Dodson. They have been working very hard on our policy development, what we want to take to the election, but we've already been very critical of the government's refusal to consider the voice to Parliament and the Makarrata Commission. I think when you have presented to you, as the Commonwealth, a clear statement from people who say they want truth-telling, they want treaty, they want a voice, we should be listening as parliamentarians.
Mm. Well, Terry, thank you for your time this morning. And especially given your croaky voice.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
We appreciate you putting yourself through it.
Yeah, I see you've got Annie Beverly here. So interesting for your listeners, but thanks for having me
on. All good. Thank you for joining us. Okay. We're going to take a quick break for a song. And don't go anywhere, because when we're going to come back, we're going to be talking to Annie Beverly Johnson, who is a founding member of Link Up. Listen to 98.9.
Thank you.
Sit down in my squeaky chair. I get up and make that coffee, and I sit down in my squeaky chair. Thought I saw you out the corner of my eye. When I turned, you wasn't there. If that ain't the blues, I must be gone crazy in my head. Well, it gotta be the blues, be gone crazy in my head. Well, and if that blues it don't get me, I may be better off dead. I sit there in my screen chair waiting for you to come home. I'm sitting here all day waiting for you to come home. Get my chair and I'll be gone. Be going crazy in my head. And if that blues ain't got me, I might be better off dead. Well, I sit there all day waiting for you to come home. Well, I'm sitting in my squeaky chair waiting for you to come home. Well, if you don't come back, baby, I'm gonna get my chair and I'll be gone.
Welcome back to the National Sorry Day event with 98.9. This is Let's Talk with your host, Carver Watson, Karen Durante, and Bo Spearham.
And thank you for joining us on Let's Talk, this special broadcast down in Orley Park, and we are at Cranbrook Place. This is one of the sites of one of the dormitories, one of the, it was known as Cranbrook Place. In the home of four Aboriginal girls that was forcibly removed from their families. And they were placed here for quite some time, and then they were moved on and were taught to work. And the majority of the work that they did were housekeeping and...
And really all the... that remains here of the old building itself is the foot of the stairs. So what happened today was a candle was lit on top of those stairs, and of course it's next to the plaque of Cranbrook Place. And if you do ever come down this way, stop by, have a look. There's a few plaques around here. Councillor Vicky Howard from Brisbane City Council was also here at the Link Up National Sorry Day event, and she talked about there are numerous other plaques around the place acknowledging, you know, the history of this place. And we've got Auntie Beverly Johnson with us at the moment. Auntie Beverly Johnson knows us back when we were just starting out as AAA, Murray Country, but also Auntie Beverly was there when Link Up started all those years ago back in the early 80s. Auntie Beverly, welcome to Let's Talk.
Thank you.
Tell us your mob, Auntie Beverly.
My mob's from Stradbroke Island. I'm New Knuckle Woman, and our totem is the snake and the dolphin.
Thanks for that, Aunt. And yeah, like, we're here commemorating National Sorry Day, and you were one of the founders back in 1984, I believe, when Link Up first started. Could you tell us a bit about those early days with Link Up and the importance of an organisation such as this?
Okay. I applied for a job at the Aboriginal and Child Care Agency in 1984, and I was one of five people who would be working in specialist areas. And then I was told by the administrator at that time, Mary Graham, that I would be in the Link Up program. I didn't have a clue what it was. I asked Mary, and when she told me what it was going to be, and I'd be sent to Canberra to be trained with Link Up New South Wales, I thought, wow, what a challenge, and what a challenge it has been.
And I guess, you know, looking back as well, how important, you know, was, you know, I guess establishing Link Up Queensland?
It was a program, and about a year later, Mary was the administrator and she left. But it was always to be its own organisation, and I was just paid then at that time as a worker. Mm-hmm. And at that time I was linking people up with family, but we didn't have any money. Mm-hmm. I used to call on charities and churches and anyone that could help send them home, but I'd also ring up the communities, speak with elders and get them to help in the process of linking them up with family. We applied for funding, but we were knocked back many, many times. But what I didn't know at the time, that we had to be an incorporated body. So I'd already linked people up in Brisbane, and I went about finding out how to do that. And we set up a board of management, and we got Link Up Incorporated. So, and at that time it was only $50, and I paid for that because we had no money. And so I am the founder of Link Up Queensland Aboriginal Corporation. I had worked there. When we did get funding, we got half the money, and only for one worker, myself. And so at that time it was CES, and I applied there to see if we could get some training for a part-time bookkeeper and an admin worker for 6 months, and that happened. And then eventually we weren't getting funded, and Link Up New South Wales said they were going to make an appointment with Robert Tickner, Minister for Aboriginal Affairs, to try and see if they could fund Link Up Queensland Aboriginal Corporation. And we had that meeting with him, but at the same time, Aboriginal Deaths in Custody report came out, and in that report were certain sections referring to Link Up services. So within a month after that, I got a call from Canberra saying that they were going to fund Link Up Queensland Aboriginal Corporation fully, and we would have another six workers. So I worked by myself for about 8 years, and people would come in and see me and ask me, was I stolen generation? And I said, no, I've had five generations of family alive. And I still do today. And they used to say how lucky I was. And when I had my down days of chucking it in, they would either ring up or pop in, and I knew why I was there. Mm. I was there because these people had no one. And even though I had an extended family and lived in an extended family, My nan and my mum and her nine brothers and sisters were part of the policies that were in place that put them on the missions and whatever, treated them badly.
And so, Aunty Bev, just listening to you talk about that, I mean, the emotion is there in your voice. Even today, that still affects you.
Yeah, so with Link Up, you know, every time I help people and I took them back home to community, they were ever so grateful. They wanted to give you everything, you know, but the reward was linking them back with their family. Mm. And I worked for Link Up for 13 and a half years.
Mm.
I am now retired and I do voluntary work with Sisters Inside 1 day a week, where I used to work with them years ago. And I also work on our Brisbane Murray Court as an elder.
Mm.
And so when I see it today, I'm glad I stuck in there for our people.
Oh, just really quickly, Aunt, and for our listeners, some of the families, some of the people you'd connect up with their families, you know, How far apart were they from their families, you know, like in terms of distance and different communities?
Well, some of them were going up to Lockhart River, Weipa, Western Australia, all over the place, around Brisbane, everywhere. They were all disconnected, all over Australia, actually.
And that work continues. We've got the new generation, I suppose, of link-up workers standing by to have a yarn about their work. Honey, Beverly, any final words you want to share with mob listening today?
Just that I know how important it is for our people to know who they are, and without their identity, nothing else really matters. You know, that's important for all our people to know who you are and where you come from.
Many thanks, Auntie Bev. You're listening to Let's Talk. We're broadcasting live from Orley Park. This is the site of Cranbrook House. Used to be an Aboriginal girls' home where they were trained as domestics from the late from the 1800s to the early 1900s. And as I mentioned before, we're going to be yarning with a couple of the new people working at Link Up, talking a bit about the work that they're doing. And I hope you can stay with us for this special extended version of Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM and the National Indigenous Radio Service.
to the National Sorry Day event with 98.9. This is Let's Talk with your host, Carver Watson, Karen Durante, and Bo Spearham.
And you're back on 98.9 FM. This is a special live broadcast of Let's Talk down here at Ollie Park from Cranbrook Place. On the program this morning, we've been yarning with some of the mob that has been involved in the Sorry Day event that has been organised by Link Up.
Link Up Queensland?
Link Up Queensland. We've been very fortunate enough to have, you know, some of the Link Up mob come have a yarn with us now. We just had Arnie Beverly before the song. She came and had a yarn with us about the early days of Link Up Queensland. And how she got that up. Also, we had Terry Butler, the MP for Griffith, and also we had Ben
Mitchell,
Torres Island man and co-chair of the National NAIDOC Committee. And we've got some guests with us here now from Link Up.
Yes, we've got Rob Prescon. Rob, welcome to Let's Talk. Tell us your mob and your role at Link Up Queensland there.
Thank you for your invitation to talk today. So my name is Rob Frescon. I am a Kanaloo man from the Rockhampton region. My role with Link Up Queensland is team leader for the service delivery. So I help with the CEO to oversee the caseworkers and the counsellors.
All right. So and that's basically working with people who've come to you saying they want to find their family?
Yeah, so we have our clients that want to establish their connection to our heritage and also find their mob if they've been separated. So they come into Link Up to become a client, and then they go on their journey once they begin with us.
And generally, who are they? Are they people that were removed, back in the 70s or beyond or earlier? Or are they also people who, coming directly out of home care, that sort of thing, in the protection system?
Yeah, so our clients range from people that were removed from past policy or government policies,
yep,
or people that have been fostered out and have lost their connection to their family at some point in their life. So it's hard to say what type of clients that we have or specific clients that would come into our office, but it's just people that want to find their connection with their culture.
All right. Not wanting to obviously reveal people's names or anything like that, but how many people have you helped this year, in the lead up to National Sorry Day, reconnected with their families, with their country, with their kin?
So this year we've done currently 27 reunions. We were trying to get 30 done by the end of June, for our 30-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So this year we've done 27.
And where are those reunions been? Like how fast?
How far apart? Yeah.
So that just depends on wherever the client's history takes them to. So mm-hmm. wherever their family, we locate their family to be from is where the reunions will be. So myself, I've done reunions as far as Mornington Island, mm-hmm. Across to Port Hedland.
Yeah.
And Perth, down to a mission in Wagga Wagga, Warringester. So it just depends really on where the actual family history, it takes them to.
Have you had any mob? I think there was a recent delegation from Aboriginal people who were taken over there, when the White Australia policy came in. So do you get any people calling from internationally saying that they want to find their mob back home?
We have had an international cases before. Not I don't know any specifically for South Sea Islander people. So not at the moment. I think that would be more of a question for research, the research manager Ruth to answer, because I'm not sure if we could actually access any records or anything like that. So I'm not 100% certain on like the type of information that we could find for people from South Sea background.
And so like when these mob do come into Link Up Queensland, your job is to sort of get in contact with their family tree history, and also talking to land councils or archiving old materials from different communities and stuff. Is that right?
Yes, how does that process work?
Yeah.
When a person becomes a client with LinkUp, there's a process that we go through for their eligibility to go through. So the criteria to become a client with LinkUp is you have to be a resident of the state. So you have to live in Queensland, be older than 18 years old, identify as Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander, and also a removal within your family for you to be a client of LinkUp Queensland. Once that has been assessed and the client becomes like an active client, a current client with LinkUp, then like that process will just vary on like wherever the situation is with that particular client. So once the research has been completed, that is when we'll know based on what the client has advised us what they're looking for within their intake. And so it could be they want to be reunited with family, or they want to be back to country reunion. Sometimes that may not be an option, and we end up doing a graveside reunion. So it just depends on where their research or what the research outcome is.
I can't imagine what that experience is like emotionally for somebody, but you mentioned counselling, so that's pretty crucial.
Yeah, so every person that becomes a client with LinkUp Queensland, they're allocated a social and emotional wellbeing counsellor. So they're trained, you know, to deal with trauma. We also have on site in our Brisbane office a Royal Commission counsellor for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people that are going through the Royal Commission as well. So we have really qualified people there to support our mob, you know, on this journey, because it is, you know, it can stir up a lot of emotions.
We should bring Ruth into the conversation now. You're listening to Let's Talk here at 98.9 FM. We're broadcasting live from Cranbrook Place.
Yep.
At Orley Park there. And Ruth is with us as well here for our special broadcast for National Sorry Day, which has been coordinated by LinkUp Queensland. Ruth, tell us your role there at LinkUp Queensland.
Hi, my role at LinkUp is the research manager, so I lead a team of researchers that do the family tracing and family history research for our clients. So essentially, once someone becomes a client and is accepted and allocated a caseworker and counsellor, as Rob talked about, it then comes to my team, and we will trawl through the records as best we can. Obviously oral history plays a role at this stage as well.
Rely on some of our historical documents, because I think the history with this place here was washed away in the floods as well. So built next to a river, guess what's going to happen?
There were many documents that were lost in the 1974 floods, a departmental type of records. But having said that as well, the Queensland Government has kept a huge amount of records about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people throughout the protection era. And I guess it's kind of bittersweet in a way, is that it's a really harrowing history and some terrible stuff in those documents, but it's also what we use to piece back histories for our clients and where they're from.
I forgot to ask Ruth her mob, but
Well, I am I'm non-Indigenous. Mixed background.
But do you get that? I suppose. Do you get that?
So I was reared up in New Zealand.
Like, this is a really, really important issue. And also, you know, it's sort of like history repeats itself again, you know, at this, you know, current time. You know, there's you know, 17,000 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children that are in and out of home care. It's sort of, it's coming back again, and it's repeating, you know. You could say in like 20, 30 years, a place like LinkUp is still going to be needed. You know, there's still going to be more children, you know, looking for their families, which is, you know, a sad affair. But, you know, how hard is it, I guess, you know, sort of coming into a space, you know, like LinkUp, being non-Aboriginal and sort of being exposed to sort of, the trauma that, you know, Aboriginal people sort of carry on? Do you find that to be, a very challenging thing, being
confronting?
In a space like that? Yeah, confronting?
It's definitely a challenging thing. I think that I've been at LinkUp for 9 years now, and I've worked with Aboriginal people also in Native Title, so for a long time. And yes, that vicarious trauma and the really distressing and disturbing things that you not only see in the records, but you see in your clients' journeys, and as you walk for a certain portion of that journey with them, it's very difficult. I took recently 6 months off to take on a contract in another organisation and just came back to Link Up.
Mm.
And while I was working really hard during that time, it actually felt like a holiday in some respects, because it was relieving yourself of that burden that you carry with your clients. I think that in many cases, research can bring about a reunion for a client, but there are some cases where it can't.
Yeah.
And that's difficult. Mm. Yeah. Yep.
It, like, you know, coming to a, you know, a full stop. You know, I guess, you know, like for returning, you know, some of these families, like, you know, some have community reunions, some have, you know, with their families, but then some, you know, have gravesite. You know, like that in itself must be, you know, pretty confronting, that, you know, this is sort of the end result of, you know, bringing these people home is sort of, you know, to a, you know, a gravesite, like, yeah, like, I couldn't imagine, you know, anybody wanting to go through something like that.
And I think the other reality is that, as you say, some records have been lost, but also some records have never been kept.
Mm.
And for some people, you can trace their history and they can go home, but for other people, you can't.
Yeah.
The records weren't kept, or the records no longer exist. Mm. And we have had clients where no matter the amount of research, they won't have a reunion. Mm. And I think that's probably the most challenging outcome to watch, I think, and what that means for that person.
Yeah, it's like unfinished business for them.
Absolutely. Mm. Yep. And how does healing happen when you can't provide that resolution?
Look, I'm not envious of your work, because as you were saying, it can be very, very challenging. We've got a bit of a breeze picking up here, if you can actually hear it, but we're speaking with Ruth and Rob from Link Up Queensland. And we wanted to, in wrapping up today, I thought it would be a good idea to mention, you know, for mob who are listening, who are wanting to reunify with their families, what's the best thing to do?
So there's a number of ways that people can become a client with Link Up. So they can either, if they live within
Queensland or Brisbane.
In Brisbane or Cairns, and they live close enough to our office, they can come in.
Yeah.
They can speak to an intake officer.
So you got an office in Brisbane and Cairns?
Yeah, so the office in Brisbane is in Reed Street in Woolloongabba. So if anyone knows where the Chalk Hotel is,
yep.
On Stanley Street, we're right beside them on Reed Street.
Mm-hmm.
And the one in Cairns office is Spence Street. They're right on the corner. It's a big white Queenslander. So that's where people in Cairns can go if they live in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So they can either come into the office, they can either ring our office. We have a 1-800 number, which is a free call. So it's 1-800-200-855. Or they can call our office main number, which is 3638-0411.
Is that 1-800 number 24 hours, 7 days a week?
It's like our office line for anyone that wants to be 8 to 4. But they can always ring at any time and leave a message. Someone will always get the message, and someone will contact them. So there's email access as well. So it's contact@link-upqld.org.au. So that's the way that if anyone wants to become a client with Link Up and know their history.
And I know that the co-chair of the National NAIDOC Committee, Ben
Mitchell,
was talking about, you know, loves the work that you guys do, particularly the newsletters that you issue on a monthly basis.
Yep.
I mean, the last issue has got, you know, reunification stories in there, and also the story about this place and
yep.
some of our elders, are unfortunately, who have passed on. So I guess we can go to the website if we want to get the newsletter.
Yes, absolutely. So they've got an archive on there for current and previous magazines that Link Up have issued, but also there's information on there as well about our organisation, what we do, our eligibilities on there as well. So that's another place that people can have a look. We're also on Facebook as well, so they can like our Facebook page, and they'll get updates on whenever these events are on. So for Sorry Day and Apology, NAIDOC,
Fantastic. Many thanks to you two, to Ruth and to Rob from Link Up Queensland, and thank you to everyone that tuned in to today's special broadcast. We finally got there, didn't we, Bo?
Yes, we finally got there. After a bit of a rocky start this morning to the show, but
it wasn't a rocky start, it was all planned.
Yes. Okay, then. It was all planned. Special show, from down here, from Cranbrook Place, commemorating, our aunties and our elders, that were, unjustly, forcibly taken, to this place. The only thing remaining down here are the stairs. There are some plaques down here. And as some of the councillors said earlier on in the Link Up Sorry Day event program, there are a few sites around Brisbane. But, if you are in West End, come down to Orley Park and come towards the end of Orley Park, and there is Cranbrook Place. Next to the Sailing Club, and that's where the plaque is and talks about the history of Cranbrook Place. And also, there's the a few plaques, one talking about the history of Cranbrook Place, and then another one has Kevin Rudd's apology speech that he did in 2007 about the Stolen Generation.
Yep. So, yes, 20th National Sorry Day tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, tomorrow's the official day, the 26th of May.
Good to work with you both.
Likewise. It's been a while since we sat in the chair together. You've been making me do a solo.
Sorry, I'm just shrugging my shoulders because you can handle it.
Going good. Yeah, feeling a bit more comfortable in the studio by myself and out there. It's been good. It's been really good.
Okay, well, thank you, Bo. Thank you, Carver. Carver's headed back to the office.
Yes.
And thank you to Dan and to Paul as well, who were pushing all the buttons in the background. And it's back to you, 98.9 FM, for the best country.
Yes.